Today is the 3rd November 2024, Sunday class. So as usual, we will be continuing our sharing from our Heart Sutta book. We are at page 90, lesson 16. Okay, so let us now compose our mind, develop the Sadha, Virya, and mindfully we shall commence the Puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Amitabha. 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 Namo Tisawang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Samasambuto Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagawantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhamman Namasami. Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kosavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya macha pamatatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Buddhang Puja. Zaman kecil. Okay. Okay, you are visited. The basics of the chanting book. Yeah, you do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. Pada, sama. Okay. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantaha Chiakawalesu Atra Gacantu Devata Saddamang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijjacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhammasarati sattadeva manusanang buddho bhagavati. Suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pacatang weditago vinuhiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Uyupatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Samicipatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Yadidang chatari purisa yukani at Te purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukkasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaniyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall continue from page 90, yeah? From where we stop. Okay. True or actual meditation only begins when one's daily mindfulness has stabilized. So to remember this, without the daily mindfulness stabilized, you have not really started the true meditation, or what we call the real awareness-based meditation. So having a very stable daily mindfulness is a prerequisite to be heedful. That's why you need to be mindful most of the time, not all the time. That is when one is always aware and heedful throughout the day. To investigate the Buddha Dhamma in daily life, we are cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness. To truly understand who we are, what we are, and how we function as a human being, we are self-knowledge, and how we become what we are. We are understanding how our mind stirs at every moment of sense experience, and how we are conditioned into various mind states of suffering due to our delusion, self-delusion, and ignorance. The silent mind is clear, stable awareness, or what we call mindfulness. So this silent mind, which is a clear, stable awareness or mindfulness, will enable us to be aware of the sense door consciousness that arrives at every moment of sense experience, thereby enabling us to witness all of the Buddha Dharma, like the Four Noble Truths, the law of Paticca Samuppada or dependent origination, etc., as explained by the Buddha within our own common mind, or sometimes is mentioned as within this phantom-like body of ours. This witnessing via the direct seeing can give rise to a lot of wisdom, leading to the awakening or enlightenment in the here and the now. Okay, then we go to next part. Part 2 is Q&A. It's regarding the Dhamma part on prajna and emptiness. 2.1. Silence your mind and be aware from within or inside to realize the true mind. So this one is very important. You cannot silence your mundane mind, the chattering mind, or the mind that verbalizes, then you cannot realize the true mind. You cannot be with the true awareness nature. So when you can silence your mind and be aware from within, you can realize your true mind. Then you will understand why only wisdom free your mind and liberates the mind, nothing else. Then when you understand Master Shenhua's commentary that states, with wisdom, you can very naturally reach the other shore, or what he called Nibbana, very easily, very naturally, you get to the other shore without any need or expend any effort at all. So this is very true. Then the second question is the divine innocence of a newborn baby the same as the enlightened state? My reply is no. The newborn baby's condition is different. Only the mind state of pure perception is quite similar. The reason being, in the case of a baby, the so-called pure perception comes about via a brain that is still quite innocent and pure, in the sense that it is not conditioned by any memories, views, opinion, conditionings, or concept or words as yet. So the main difference is that mind state is not born of wisdom, whereas those of the enlightened ones, their perception are still pure perception. Whereas for those of the enlightened beings, their perception are still pure perception despite their memories, conditioning, belief system, etc. Due to their wisdom, and there is clarity within their pure perception. That is, they are like a lotus flower. They are still pure and above the lotus form, even though they originated from the filthy lotus form below. So that is the analogy. Then part three, we will zoom in on how to overcome unwholesome thought as taught by the Buddha. So there are five ways the Buddha teach. So when one encounters adversity or problem without wisdom, the mind will stir to condition one's unwholesome thought and unwholesome emotion. So here the Buddha teaches five ways to overcome all unwholesome thought and emotion that has arisen. So as explained, the first two ways are still thought-based, but they are useful for initial understanding. The first way is, the Buddha said, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. For example, if there is anger, then visualize and develop metta. And if there is cruelty, develop compassion. And if there is fear, develop faith. Then the second way is to think of the consequence of holding on to the unwholesome thought or evil thoughts. You do not abandon it. Then the evil roots, which is the root of all evil, will condition you into becoming an evil person. For example, anger can condition one into hatred and violence. An angry person can kill and harm and abuse others. So when you can reflect and contemplate the danger of holding on to this wrong thought, with the errors of greed, hatred, and delusion, then you must determine to abandon it. Then the third way is the meditative way, the third and fourth way. The third way, according to the Buddha, is just relax and let things be. This is the meditative approach or meditative training developed. They are understanding that the natural states of mind before is stirring is already the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and silent inner awareness. And that the very flowering of that unwholesome thought is the very ending of that thought. If you don't give me any more fuel to proliferate, then only you can move on to the fourth way. The fourth way, the Buddha said, you have to trace the originating factors and then retrospectively reverse them via the cultivation of mindfulness of Dhamma or Dhammanupassana. That is, we are cultivation of mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases. This is to develop the wisdom to free. Then the Buddha said, if all these four ways also cannot help you, then you have to use the fifth way, which is you must use your own self-determination as recommended by the Buddha, that is with clenched teeth and tongue towards your palate. You should determine strongly to abandon the unwholesome one, thereby enabling you to be free from the conditioning of this wrong thought. Then the next section is 3.2. Is it alright to indulge in positive thought during formal meditation? So the answer is, I reply, I say no, not advisable, because it is like trying to create good memories for a good state of happy mind moments, which is a form of thinking. And sensual indulgence or craving for these happy states, happy mind states, whereas really love or metta. Yeah, I read again. Not advisable because it's like trying to create good memories for a good state of happy mind moments, which is a form of thinking and sensual indulgence or craving for these happy mind states. Whereas if you just radiate loving kindness or metta, it is different. Yeah, it is not a thought. It is from the heart with the pure feeling of true metta. You are silent and you radiate a peaceful metta sincerely from your heart. So radiating metta is not to think of wholesome mind state. Well, radiating metta has its benefit, and initially you need to understand what metta is, and then you keep on radiating this metta. Initially, you can maybe through your visualization, verbalization, you verbalize it first, and then you can radiate it to your willpower. You will it from your heart. And then after that, the final stage is this metta, when you have enough, it will flow from your heart. It will just like a very soothing type of metta force or energy coming out from your heart. And that one is the most powerful. Okay, I read on. When you are in a sitting posture during formal meditation training, try not to do that, where it will not bring about the bhavana, mayapanya, the meditative wisdom born out of the turning of the form, number two. During the formal sitting meditation, your main focus is to initially train and tame the heedless thinking mind into a relaxed state of silent inner awareness. Then after it has stabilized, keep it silent and just be aware within to understand what is going on within our form and mind, so as to develop the third turning, direct seeing wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Understand that the first and second turning wisdom are less penetrative than the third turning wisdom, which is born of the direct seeing. Hence, the second turning wisdom via reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth, as proclaimed by the Buddha, should only be done during normal daily mindfulness training and silent, relaxed, contemplative session and moments. Okay, we finish lesson 16. So now we come to lesson 17, Sutta class. Okay, part 1, recapitulation and emphasize on the previous lesson. 1.1. The session on direct seeing. Direct seeing here refers to the silent mind in pure awareness, to see things as they are, without any thought to arise the third turning wisdom, which is Bhavana Maya Panya. If you have wisdom, the five degree of form and mind will not be a problem. They will not affect you in the sense that there will be non-grasping aggregate. Then reversing the light of awareness to shine within, to cultivate the daily mindfulness with clear comprehension or sati sampajana is very important. Then the next part is part 2, where the three types of wisdom light are expressed. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, the evils are there. The evils of greed, hatred, and delusion, they are there. Just like how you all come to understand. Whereas wisdom will lead you to peace, harmony, love, compassion and joy, happiness and joy. This is the Dhamma to contemplate constantly, and it's a very good check for all cultivators. So to identify your wrong thought or evil is very easy. You check your emotion. That's why I use the word. Whenever you are not peaceful and unhappy, the evil roots are there. Means your true mind state is no longer there to help you or assist you. Then the Buddha reprimanded Ananda on the saying, see no evil and hear no evil, then you are peaceful. Because according to the Buddha, evil or not evil is all in the mind. The world is the world and it is not a problem. If you have wisdom to confront its reality, I read again, the world is the world and it's not a problem if you have wisdom to confront its reality. For nobody can make you unhappy, remember this one, or miserable, unless you allow yourself to be so, via your own self delusion. There are three types of wisdom light. The first wisdom light is the language of prajna, and this is equivalent to the first turning wisdom, which the Buddha calls Suttamaya Panya. So prajna of language is true hearing. Then the second turning wisdom light, this is the light of prajna, born of contemplation, illumination. Sorry, contemplative illumination is equivalent to the Theravada tradition second turning wisdom called Chintamaya Panya. So after you have heard it, if your understanding is not stable, then you should reflect contemplate and inquire to stabilize it. And there is a second time. And finally, the third wisdom line, the light of the prajna, or the characteristics or actuality, is equivalent to the direct seeing wisdom of the third turning wisdom, called bhavanama, bhavanamaya prajna. Return all external form or manifestation created by mind to mental consciousness, then mental consciousness to the pure awareness or true mind, to realize our Buddha nature or oneness nature, which is also the source of all things. Okay, so with the four circle diagram, it is a lot clearer. Huh? So from the Buddha nature or the oneness nature, the first thing to arise is pure awareness nature, or the silent mind, the meditative mind. Then from there, it spin off what we call the mundane thinking, the mundane mind. So this mundane mind, when they manifest, due to self-delusion or sakya-ditti, the five area of formal mind created the illusion that there is a knower. So the knower that you believe exists become like the living beings, or we call it the five area of formal mind. You become the traveler in space and time via the karmic process. Then from the mundane mind, when it stirs, it can give rise to the phenomenal world of consciousness. So external manifestation of mind created via mental consciousness. You must see this. You must silence your mind to observe this. How do you know the world? How do you interact with the world through your senses? So all this manifestation of mind created via mental consciousness, they are like the physics experiment upon contact. Consciousness arise. So this mental consciousness, they arise naturally, automatically. But because of sakya-ditti delusion, you associate with what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile think, and arise through the mental states. So mind states are the last door. Yeah. That's why seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought. Consciousness. So when you are not careful, you will deludedly believe that you exist, that the thought is you. So there is a knowing element, you think. Then you grasp onto this knower. Yeah. That's why the knower believes that he exists. That's why he said, I can see, I can hear, I can smell, I can taste, I can probably feel anything. That's how self-delusion arises. And they grasp at the sixth sense to trigger the phenomenal world of consciousness. So when you come to cultivation, you need to return them. Return all external manifestation. Means, mind make a day. So external manifestation include the five sense bases or sense data. Then when you are mindful, you can see the internal six sense door, six type of sense bases. Then our conscious mind, when we become conscious upon contact of the sense data together with the mind and the sense bases, it trio of their respective sense or consciousness. That's how you become conscious. Conscious of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. So when you become conscious, you believe you exist. There is an ego. That's why you have to return all external form back to the mundane mind. And it is from this mundane mind that they arise to the sense experience. Upon contact of sense data, if the sense basis, then the mind, like the physical experiment, like light bulb lights up, that lighting up is equivalent to you becoming conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So those moments of consciousness, if you grasp onto it, cling onto it, you become deceived, deluded. That's why you get yourself entangled. Then based on your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, you stir your mind. That's why at first, you have to return all external form or manifestation created by the mind to this mundane mind. See clearly how they arise. Then this mundane consciousness, you have to silence it to return to the true mind or pure awareness nature. The way you come out, you have to return all of them accordingly. So the four circle formation explained very well. Okay, we move on. Oh, this part three is meditation idea. Okay, maybe we stop here first. We'll have our 45 minutes of awareness based meditation first. Then only we come back to part two, which is Q&A. Okay, as usual, we are off the light so that you all can have your half an hour awareness based meditation. Just relax body and mind, maintain some form of attention or awareness. Then remember the four support, especially the first three. Relax into every mind state that arises. Relax body and mind. Then silence everything. Maintain awareness. Just aware. Whatever arises, aware. Don't try to know. Don't try to think. Don't try to create anything. Just the trying to know and the trying to do is always by the thought. And when thought is active, you cannot meditate. So the understanding is very important. So when you can continuously relax into every mind state that arises, then maintain awareness. Whatever arises, aware. Aware. So you continue to train. I will set the alarm now, 45 minutes. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then you continue from our sharing. Yes, sir. So this one is on the Q&A side. So there is a question by somebody. How long will it take for the mind to settle down into stillness? So this is quite a common question. So normally they will want to know in meditation. Usually how long will it take for the mind to settle down into stillness? So this one actually it depends. That's why my reply is, it depends on the individual. If you have cultivated correctly and consistently, and your wisdom and daily mindfulness are already very established, then the stillness of mind can be realized relatively quick or fast. It can happen within 1 or 2 minutes. But you have not done the training, and the wisdom is not established as yet, and it may not happen. And to settle down into stillness may be quite a difficult and arduous task. So this is true for most people who have not trained their mind. You have not developed the inner awareness or daily mindfulness training, and you don't have the understanding. To settle down the mind is not easy. We are the four support that we develop to help you develop the awareness-based meditation is very important. Most people don't know how to relax body and mind, the first support. When you can relax into any mind state that arises within your own permanent mind, then you can settle down very fast. So most of y'all, especially those who are non-kayamita, who haven't trained their mind, their mental hindrance and habitual tendencies are very strong. They are so heedless. They lost in thought. The conditioned thinking is so active inside them. That's why we call this heedless thinking. And the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. So understanding that the mental hindrance, they are there because throughout the day you lack the five spiritual faculty, the opposite five spiritual faculty, to root out the mental hindrance. And because of that, the mental hindrance become like very strong, very active. And if every moment of sense experience, you stir your mind and react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think, and how can your mind settle down? You create light and this time, lesson and unpleasant sense experience. And these two are sensual desire and ill will, the first two of the five mental hindrance. It throughout the day arise then until you become so habitual. So this habitual tendency of stirring the mind, reacting to sense experience, create heedless thinking, create mental hindrance. And what are mental hindrance? These are mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. That's why you cannot settle down. To set down the mental hindrance must not be there. That's why I say whatever arise, just relax. Let things be. Relax means do not stir your mind, do not react, do not do anything. Just let things be, allow it to be. Then the mind will slowly, slowly develop the deconditioning of the heedless thinking. It no longer react to what it perceived through the sense experience. So to do that, you need wisdom. You need understanding. You can see things as they are and accept the reality for what it is. Condition like that, things be like that, you are at peace. But without that wisdom, it's not easy. Then the habitual tendency, the constant reaction and stirring of the mind. This is where living being cannot get it right. So in order to settle down fast, you must know how to relax. Then just maintain awareness. Means the mind basically is just aware without thought. That is your true mind, the meditative mind. But because living being thinks a lot, the continuous proliferation of thought process, born of heedless thinking, is like has become habitual, non-stop. So conditioned. So this conditioned thinking, they cannot stop. Then sometimes because of your other mental hindrance of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and when you have unresolved issue in mind, that thought keep on coming back to haunt you. And these are all wrong thoughts. Wrong thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, leading to restlessness of mind. And your mind become restless. So how can it settle down? And restlessness is also a hindrance. Then when you lack faith, you tend to have doubt. Am I doing it correctly? Am I following the Buddha's instruction or the teacher's instruction? So all this doubt will also bring about mental hindrance. And when that topic is something you don't like or you don't see the importance, you tend to be sleepy. And the first thing that those people who are tired and not interested in meditation because they don't see the importance, the first thing that will happen to them is when you ask them to meditate, they feel sleepy. And this is sloth and torpor. And all these five mental hindrances, they keep on arising. So how can you develop the ability to be at peace within, to settle down into stillness, which is to realize your true mind? So this is the reason. So there are two ways to do it. First, cultivate your spiritual faculty so that your spiritual faculty will help you overcome the mental hindrance. Then train your mind to be aware using the four support. Or you can use the traditional way where people make use of an object of meditation to train themselves in sati or awareness. But don't go and focus and concentrate to bring about a conditioned state where the mind like falls into one-pointedness to develop the absorption or the peacefulness within through one-pointedness focusing or disciplined attention. So the disciplined attention is very detrimental. It will lead to, of course, energy field, jhana, meditative calm, and all those things. And you know how to make use of all those mind states, then you can develop wisdom out of it to transform. It's okay. But most people don't know. Most people, they get attached to those calm state. Then they cannot deal with energy. Where the energy build-up become too strong, too powerful, then it will lead to yin-yang imbalance and give rise to a lot of what they call negative side effect or tendency of samatha meditation. And then the non-human, the mana, they will come and disturb you, attack you. So all these are stated in the Mahayana Sutta. They call it the 50 Divine Samadhi in the Surangama Sutta, Usimo. So there's a reason why people cannot settle down. So to settle down is just to relax, maintain awareness, or develop something that can bring about mindfulness, like breathing. Anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. You just relax, maintain awareness, to be aware of the breath. Breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. Or you can use the mind sweeping method to calm yourself down. The mind sweeping method, you just feel, relax. You don't think. Then you can also develop metta or visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile and radiating metta. And when you can smile, you know how to relax. Otherwise, you cannot relax. So when you radiate a radiant smile, you feel good, you relax. Then you continue the mind split method. Feel, relax, feel, relax, feel, relax. So this one is like relax, maintain awareness. Instead of maintain awareness, you feel. That feeling is pure feeling. You don't think. You just give something to allow the mind to settle there. The mind must have something to do. Otherwise, this mundane mind wander off and think along. Yeah. So the reason why our mundane mind keep on wandering off is because of your mental habitual tendency, mental hindrance. You lack the spiritual faculty. You lack the niso manasikara. You lack understanding of the Dhamma. Okay, we go back to the notes. With this explanation, I think question one can now be understood. So I read again the answer. Come now. Okay. I say, it depends on the individual. If you are cultivated correctly and consistently, then your wisdom and daily mindfulness are already well established or very established, then the stillness of mind can be realized relatively fast. It can happen within 1 or 2 minutes. Yeah. But if you have not done the training and the wisdom and not yet established, or not established as yet, then it may not happen. And to settle down into stillness of mind or tranquility of mind, to realize the true mind, the inner awareness within, may be quite difficult and quite an arduous task. So this is the explanation. The detail is explained by me just now, where you lack spiritual faculty, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, the opposite mental hindrance, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt that arise. And when the mental hindrance arises, you cannot settle down your mind. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, which is to realize your true mind and to settle down. So hope you can understand. Then the next question is more important. What actually returned to the source? Yes, many people cannot understand. So, like I explained, the four circle formation. The first circle is our Buddha nature, or some call it the source. Then some call it by different name. Your true nature, or you know, some guy call it your original nature, the mind main mode. Then some call it the oneness nature. Whatever name it is, it is like the source of all things. Whatever that arises, they start from that. So from the source, the first thing to arise is the pure awareness nature. That this is the uniqueness of that nature. That nature that arises from the source is always the pure awareness. It can never be any other thing. And the pure awareness is not the mundane mind, it's not the thought. That's why the pure awareness, most people cannot detect it, cannot realize it. Every living being, not only human, the moment you are born, that nature is within us. And the first thing that manifests is that pure awareness nature. In the baby, before you are born, That Nietzsche is written, that when you are born, newly born, before you interact with society, with the environment, during those first few days of birth, your senses are very pure, your brain, everything. Nothing to condition you or give rise to words, concept, perception. That's why your senses operate through the pure awareness. So the baby has the pure awareness, perception. They can see things as they are. But during that period, no use, because they don't have any understanding. And they don't know how to make use of it to develop the meditation and other things. So what happens is, the living being, they have to go through, especially human being, go through the conditioned living, the conditioning, the process of learning. Learning through what we call the education system, or learning through somebody who look after you. They will talk to you. They will actually teach you a lot of knowledge. So the learning process leads to accumulation of what we call knowledge, thought processes, and your experiences. What you experience through your six senses, pleasant, unpleasant, then all of the movement, activity, leading to all the belief system, views, opinion, condition, and your karmic nature condition you. Because you are born of your karma and your karma conditions, and you are what you are before you come. So all this starts to come and influence you in the environment, in the teacher, your parents, your guardians, your whoever. And later on, as you grew up, all the media. Early days is the newspaper, the magazine, the so-called cinema show, or whatever. But now, they got handphone, iPad, data. The handphone can be very powerful. And now the multimedia, everything. So everywhere is digital technology. That's why the kid nowadays, very early years, the moment they are born, they are being strongly conditioned and influenced by all this. Then they develop the brain, the memory, the perception, and that's how the mundane mind develop. Then they are like very focused in knowledge, learning, in all the so-called intellect. That's why they accumulated a lot of knowledge, intellectual knowledge. Then nowadays, they even develop a lot of artificial intelligence, like all programming that enable faster learning, that the AI can help you. No need to remember like last time in the early days. So the advent of technology has transformed many things. That's why as we go through this phase, the brain becomes sophisticated. And not like in the early days, where technology is less developed and they are more philosophical. They contemplate, they reflect, they want to understand things. They are more what we call philosophical in their approach. They're not only philosophical, they inquire. That's why they want to understand So they develop all the humanity side, arts, philosophy. They think more deeply. But nowadays, no need. All these people are not interested, like poetry and all the religious thing, leading to spiritual cultivation. So that part, less. So what happened is, as human being evolve, humanity evolve, living beings evolve, all this influence, the way the mundane mind get defiled and gets entangled. Then the second circle will condition the third circle formation, which is the mundane mind. And the mundane mind that created the phenomenal world of consciousness is the fourth circle. So all this process has been going on for millennia, for as long as living being exists. That's why we call it samsara, birth and death of living being, the cycle of birth and death. And this is how we evolve and we manifest. So go back to the notes, So with this, hopefully you can understand. So now going back to the question, the four circle formation, when it comes out from the pure awareness, we develop the mundane mind. Then after the mundane mind, we develop the phenomenal world of consciousness. Then from there, through our Sakyavati self-delusion, we attach, cling, grasp, and entangle ourselves. That's how suffering comes to be. Then to meditate, according to the Buddha, is to return all this manifestation or creation created by the pure awareness, the mundane thought process, the phenomenal world of consciousness, is to return all this. Means everything that manifests from the mundane mind, the phenomenal world of consciousness, you return them to your mundane consciousness. Then from your mundane consciousness, you cease the thinking so that it can return to the pure awareness nature. And then this pure awareness nature, like the previous one, also need wisdom to enable you to have the understanding to return. To return means to stop the heedless thinking. But because of our physical body, with the senses and the consciousness trapped inside, and the sense data upon contact, that consciousness will arise. So the arising of consciousness, you cannot stop. But you can stop the wrong view, the wrong thought, the wrong content of consciousness from going in. That one, you need wisdom. You need to see the unreality of form, the unreality of thought. Then you need to see beyond thought, beyond form. If you cannot see the unreality, you cannot see beyond. So first, we need to understand self-knowledge, how we perceive things, how we come to know things, how we interact with the world, and how we know the world through our senses. That's why you learn to see form. Then you learn to see mind. Then when you have that ability through mindfulness, you learn to see the unreality of form, realize the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then this wisdom liberates your mind, free you, and you are not deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness. Then you will not grasp, you will not cling. Only then you can see beyond form. Then when you see beyond form, you saw mind. Then again, through the same process, you insight into phenomena. You awaken to the universal characteristic and you come to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human. Then you realize the five aggregate of form and mind, they are empty. Means they have the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Because of that, you see, even this mind is not what you think. That's why you know that it is unreal. It is empty, not what you think. That's why when you see the unreality of mind, then you can see beyond mind. Then you know how to completely silence your mundane mind. And this one can only happen when wisdom is there. Then when the mundane mind realizes itself and sees, then the true mind manifests. And then this true mind, when it realizes enlightenment, it also sees. That's why when the true mind sees, there is nothing to return to the source. It's the complete cessation of form and mind, including the pure awareness nature that manifests from the source initially. So that's how you realize the what they call unconditioned, or they say the realization of Nibbana. This is the unconditioned. But there is no being inside them. No one realizes. Nobody returns. It's just the mundane mind that realizes itself and sees, and with the wisdom, it enters cessation of form and mind. And when everything sees, including the pure awareness, then the nature, the oneness nature manifests. So the form and mind that went through that cessation will understand what that thing is. That's why when it's not time for you to die, means parinibbana, you will realize nibbana. But it's not you, a being, really. That cessation happened, then that process went in. Then inside the unconditioned, you cannot talk about it, you cannot describe about it. There is no word, nothing. It's just unconditioned. That in it is causes and conditions for it to manifest and come out again. That coming out, because you already have the silent awareness training, the silent mind, your awareness nature's training. So when it come out, you will see clearly the first thing to come out is a pure awareness nature. And you can stay with that pure awareness nature to witness the creation process, to come to realize how from the pure awareness it enters the physical body, and how it split into three areas of consciousness and manifests you into a living being again. And the whole process you will witness and see clearly. And the pure awareness can also know that the sense data is coming. Yeah, everything is like slow motion for you to see. Then you can understand how you become what you are. How the paticca samuppada link one by one. Then you slowly, slowly come back to normal consciousness to become a living being again. Or in our case, a human being again, with the consciousness trapped inside. Initially, is that consciousness is not at the surface, or what we call the normal awareness, is deeper inside. Deeper means from that your awareness nature, which is without thought, very stable, it slowly, slowly come out. Until you finally understand how you become a human being. Okay? Then you understand clearly who are you, what are you, how you function as a human being, how you stir your mind. Because the pure awareness allows you to see very clearly. So now you start to develop the understanding why there is nobody to return to the source. So I answered it this way. I said, there is no one to return to the source. It is just a mundane mind that realizes itself and sees. At that time, I can only explain this much, where you all are not ready. Then the cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of Nibbana, is without a mind, and totally without any thought or even the pure awareness or pure consciousness. Hence, it cannot be spoken or expressed or understood via words, knowledge, or ideas, or concept, which is still within the field of thought. The mind, here means the mundane mind, ceases, but you are not dead, and the consciousness can still come back, if it is still not time for Parinibbana as yet, like I explained just now. It's just like the Buddha's analogy of the candlelight that sees. Suddenly the candlelight gone. You cannot see the candlelight die. No. If you had a condition, you like it, it will manifest again. So this analogy is real. So the candlelight analogy is very, very appropriate. So Nibbana is cessation. That's why the word cessation. Ku ji mie mie niruta. Cessation, complete cessation of form and mind. Yeah. So hopefully with this understanding and deeper explanation this time, you all can understand it better. Yeah. Okay, now we move on to 3.3. Mental liberation and the non-Buddhist. So there was a question, they said, Buddhist meditation talks about mental liberation and enlightenment via the Buddhist way. So the question by the Kayamita is, can non-Buddhists also gain liberation or enlightenment of mind via meditation? That's why I answered. I said, yes. Because like the Buddha said, that he told that the last person was allowed to visit him and talk to him before his Parinibbana. I forgot his name already. There is a name. He asked the Buddha, he said, so many religions, every religious teacher claim that they have the truth. So he asked the Buddha, is it only limited to your teaching? Then the Buddha answered him very well. He said, this famous saying is very important. He said, the Dhamma or truth was already there before him. And he only realized it after his enlightenment. So truth is not monopolized by Buddhism or any religion for that matter. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. Hence, truth is not your truth or my truth. But these are the individual's opinion of truth. Then there is also a further explanation by the Buddha. He said, because under the fourth noble truth, he said, if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is enlightenment in the here and now. So he told that particular person, he said, as long as the noble eightfold path teaching is still around, the world will not be empty of Aryas or enlightened beings. As I know, the Eightfold Path is very important. That is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. When you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, enlightenment in the here and the now will be possible. Okay? Go back to the sharing, the notes. Okay, 3.4. When meditating, is it normal that the mind may go blank? Yeah. For a while. Then I reply, I said, the mind can go blank for a while, or for quite some time, depending on the type of meditation one is doing. But it is more important for us to understand what is the main purpose of meditation or bhavana. The main purpose is to realize the wisdom that can enable us to understand clearly the Four Noble Truths, so that our mind can be liberated from all entanglement of life or suffering. Entanglement of life that can condition our mental suffering. So whatever meditative experience that can bring about this wisdom or understanding is more important than just blanking your mind or developing the very special meditative experiences during the meditation. The very special or beautiful meditative experience that arise during meditation are only a conditioned state, and if they do not bring about wisdom leading to transformation in understanding, then they should be left as they are. They should not be clung onto or perceived as equivalent to special achievement in meditation. So a certain type of one-pointedness, concentration or absorption meditation, which they call samatha meditation, can also bring about a state of like no thought or blank mind for a certain period of time. But the whole mind become blank. You know, you go into a deep trance. The karmas can be very strong, but the mind is without any awareness within. Such meditation is mainly samatha in nature. One will have to release the absorption of concentration to normal state of awareness to cultivate sati sampajana or daily mindfulness with clear comprehension. Means you must release it out to upacara samadhi. Don't go into apana samadhi. And if you want to experience apana samadhi for what it is, then you can for one. But to develop wisdom, you must come out of it. Yeah. So this sati sampajana or daily mindfulness with clear comprehension is in the midst of life is very important, because it can develop insight and wisdom needed for enlightenment. Then the other thing about this blank mind is, if you go to a Mahayana temple, if you go for retreat, you better remember this. Because Zen story, there are a lot of Zen story about those people who do samatha or concentration type of meditation or absorption, where they blank their mind, like no thought, completely in trance. So when the Zen master know that you are developing that type of energy, then they will walk around, then they will have a stick, then they will strike you. Then they will tell you, we already have enough Buddha statue in the temple, we don't want another few to sit around. So the hope you can develop that understanding so that you are not the one that is being told off. Because when you blank your mind, you don't have inner awareness, you cannot understand what is going on, you cannot develop wisdom. That one is mainly samatha in nature. So it involves energy field. Yeah. And sometimes because it is a state of mind that transforms into like they call it into a trance, like it's totally no thought one, like you blank or you don't know what happened, but you feel very good, you feel very calm, but like you don't know anything, no thought, nothing. Then when you come out of it, you feel very good, you feel like you have rested, and your energy inside is really strong. So this is the few possibility of the mind going into that state of trance, or it's like you completely blank off. And it's like you cannot recall what happened, and like you are under anesthesia. After the operation, when you wake up, you completely cannot recall what happened, because that one, the numb of your conscious brain, the brain part that is responsible for thought process, the unconscious and subconscious thought process or movement, the chloroform has the power to actually, you call it, I use the word numb, it like make it cannot function. That's why you like, the Buddha called it Bhavanga. Then the consciousness like go into a state, Bhavanga, completely unconscious. So that one is like you are put it into a anesthetic state of sleeping. They like put you under anesthesia, like you lost consciousness completely, so that the doctor can do what they like during the operation. But they have to be very good, very skillful. If they overdose it, you can die. That's why the anesthesia, they are specialists and they are very well paid. And not many can do it. They need to go through extensive training. And in the hospital, I think every now and then they got what they call operation. And they need this anesthesia to stand by. So those who have gone through, you will understand what I say. Okay, now we will stop our sharing. Then we finish lesson 17. Okay, so now we will go for our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by Dhamma question or Q&A session. And also sharing of the Dhamma in daily life. Okay, we'll open it up. The last session was last Tuesday. Who was the? Oh, I didn't share because of our 20th anniversary gathering of Kayamita. I shared the website. And the website one, you all should actually take it out as a short video, the whole section to explain to people so that people can listen to it. Yeah, that one is helpful. Yeah, a lot of people don't know how to make use of the website. Actually, our website got a lot of things inside there. Even our spiritual trip, that the few Kalamita that came and saw the album, they thought the video is without the album photo. But at the gathering of Kalamita, Bertil confirmed God, he played it for us. It's under the, I think, the video section. We have gallery, then there is a video section. Then there is a YouTube session also for all the short video. But this one is, I think, all file up properly in the video. All our trip, our whatever, the annual one, we actually compile it. And this one, we should thank the group of people who help us do the website. They spend a lot of time. They are very good. Especially Jin Hao, Siri, Bertil, even those who help in the input. Masuri, they offer, and many others. So, even the short video, we have a lot of volunteers. even what we call transcript, to produce a book, to print a book, to help in the editing, and what we call proofreading, etc., NBBO. So many has helped out. Even I think Manuel, Sister Alicia, PG, and Ling Lim, and Wan Chi, and many others. They have volunteered and helped us even project. I think there is one, I'm also partaking on the project system. So all these are very useful, very wholesome, and it's hope. Once they up the video on the website, they can get to know more about our activity and our recorded Dhamma, very extensively recorded and stored up repository of Dhammas that can help cultivate all the way to develop understanding. Yeah, they are very penetrative and insightful to help people. Okay, maybe we open up. Anybody wants to come in? Yeah. Based on what we shared today, and also if you have any meditation to report, you can also report. It's just on your mind, come in. Anybody?
Hi, Radio. I'm
Ah,
in.
yeah. Can you come in?
Yeah, I can, but I'm not sure what to what
Never
to say.
mind. You can either ask question or share today's topic or report whatever meditation you want or any Dhamma in daily life that you have gone through. Or you can share the last gathering, huh? I think a lot of you all actually enjoy and felt very good about the last gathering. I received a lot of very good comments. It's so well organized this time. And there was no rehearsal, do you all know? It just went on like autopilot.
Yeah.
And very well organized. We should thank all the organizers, the organizing committee, especially Pamasuri and her team. Yeah,
Yeah,
Michael.
it was a very good experience, and it was a very good day for me also. Yeah.
Two of my classmates who went, they say they enjoy it very well. It was so well organized. And in fact, Sui An also mentioned very well organized. And many people told me very well organized.
Yes.
Simple, direct, and all the activity, like you won't feel boring. They enjoy every minute of it. And the fellowship was beautiful. And all the Kayamita that were there were so happy. And many of them responded after a long time. They haven't met up. Then they met up. Then for Bojang, it's even more meaningful. We have, this is the first time he attended the gathering of Kayamita. And a lot of people that together with developed the what they call transcript or those things. He haven't met them until that day. So all these were beautiful. Yeah, pass on to you, Mayan.
Yeah, rather, it was very joyful for me also. The joy wasn't like those exciting kind of joy. It was more like a kind of a calm joy where you see all your old friends,
Yeah.
friends that you haven't seen for a
True.
long
Yeah.
time.
Sadhu,
And
especially Kayamitas. We are all of them
yeah.
have actually developed the understanding and so much joy in their face. And surprisingly, most of them dress up very well. You were also one of them that dressed up very well. And I
Yeah,
saw a lot of Kayamitas, they dress up very well. That's why it's an
they
occasion for fellowship. or joy, expression of gratitude, thanks, and also sharing. And there are many wholesome activities like rejoicing, then catch up with Kanamita, update each other, and share life experience. All these are very meaningful, and it's a triple tricycle occasion, plus it coincides with Medicine Buddha, Yao Po's birthday. So actually, it's a very auspicious gathering. And the full, we started actually around 11 something, but most of them were there before 11. So from 11 to 2:30, that 3.5 hour, it was very beautiful gathering. And many of them told me they enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, it's true. I enjoy every minute of
Yeah.
It also.
Because even the website presentation, a lot of them actually enjoy it and starts to understand the beauty of their website. And so many things has been accomplished. Our what they call 20 years of hard work pay off. The milestone that we achieved, actually, it was a beautiful 20 years. And the whole of the website, the repository of Dhamma material was so comprehensive. And even the short video, the books, a lot of them commented and thanked me for the short video. They say you should thank the committee people. But the short video actually help a lot of people. They don't have to waste too much time. They listen, then they get it. They listen, and they get it. And it reminds them of the Dhamma, and there's a lot of joy. And many non-Kayamita who listen also, they really enjoy it. They look at the subscriber and what they call the you can actually click on the bell and the subscribe. And so still growing, 700 plus already. Our Kayamita less than 200. Active one, I think, about 100 or 100 plus. But now that subscribe base is almost 700 plus. So all this are good signs that people appreciate what has been shared, and it's useful, it has helped many people. Yeah, Manya, back to you.
Yeah, Radio, in such occasion, there's a lot of joy and gratitude. And the feeling of appreciation, if not for the Dharma, if not for Radio's continuous, untiring teaching, then, you know, we will...
All these are not likely to happen, not possible.
Yeah.
But also because of you all, the karmic past and the affinity. That's why it can be such a beautiful Kayamita grouping. And we look back, really, it's a fantastic 20 years. This 20 years has been actually amazingly fantastic. And a lot of people told me it's beyond their wildest dream that this thing can happen to them. Actually, the whole of the Dhamma cultivation and understanding up to the stage they are, they actually never believe this thing are possible. And some of them, they got to this point through a lot of depression before, and many of them actually came out more beautiful. So all these are so wonderful. Then many of them, after they saw the video and the sharing, they text me. They say, "But I should come with it." Then a lot of them say, "Well, luckily Sri Anu was the one that encouraged them to come." to attend. They felt so good. And the food was good, isn't it?
Yeah, the food was good.
Cheap and good.
Yeah.
We are subsidized. It's something worthy because our Karmika fund, we have enough or much more surplus cash position to actually reward back Kayamita for this occasion. That's like the 20th anniversary gathering of Kayamita and the tri-sacred occasion. We decide to charge half price. So the full cost of the dinner, a lunch or dinner, was actually around 100 ringgit, but we charge 50, which is good, more affordable, and we encourage more people to come. And many people actually make it a point to be there. And I saw even the clan group, they are very happy. And many of those from other parts of Malaysia and Singapore. And one of them, I think, Sister Chiam, from Kuching. She is now in Sarawak, Kuching. So all these were beautiful.
Yeah, right. Your Sister Chia was on my table.
Sitting in your
first time seeing her also. It was quite happy to see her.
She was very happy. Because she said, luckily, Sui An contacted her and she made the decision to come, and she was so happy. Because she actually joined us in 2017, and her encounter with Sui An and us also was like meant to be. Initially, she didn't know Sui An. He was at SGBA looking for Dhamma, so he was searching for books. Then Sui An saw him searching. Then Sui An approached her and asked her, "Is there anything I can help you? Is there anything that you are looking for?" So he saw Sui An, a man, suddenly asked him, the no Sui An. Then he was hesitant. But later on, he find out from some of the Karmitas that Sui An is the deputy president. Then he got faith, confident. Then she talked to Sui An and told Sui An she wants to learn Dhamma, English educated. But then Sui An said, okay, you can come to my house and observe for yourself and find out whether it's suitable. Then the moment he came, he liked it, the class, the Thursday class. That's how she started. So a lot of people came through Thursday class, Tuesday class. Some come through Saturday and Sunday class. Last time, Jembaka, we used to have the Saturday class, but now I amalgamated it to my house. So I limit to 3 Dhamma sessions in a week, which is Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. I think just nice. Otherwise, it's too packed. Last time, the meditation is Thursday. Saturday class one. Then Sunday, later on, was added because of Wu Ping Jing Se, the Heart Sutta. So I decided to consolidate Saturday to Sunday class and move it back to my house after in the MCO. So until today, it's still the same format. So, Marion, anything else that you want to add?
I can share one. There was one occasion also in the early days when I started joining Brother Teo. The same kind of gathering, you know, when I first joined, because I didn't know a lot of people. That time, I remember, I think it was maybe the second one. I mean, the early one, I cannot remember.
The earlier.
So I was like seated by myself at the table. So I was observing everything, you know, and
Oh,
I could
so
see
good.
a lot of joy in
Yeah,
everyone,
yeah, yeah.
and the process of the whole lunch lah.
Yeah,
And I
yeah,
remember I
yeah. The
was also
atmosphere
very
and the energy
correct.
and all the witnessing of the joy and expression of thanks, gratitude, sharing. They were so beautiful.
Yeah, and
When
I
you
remember
are there and
thinking.
you really feel it, it's really different. That's why a lot of people told me, but to your spiritual tree, your gathering of metta and your whatever, even we call it the house dana or whatever, they were very special. Is it the food? Especially people comment about the food. Is every time people bring very nice food, even house dana. So that was the very positive feedback. And like you say, a lot of new people at that time, they came to know more Kayamita after the gathering of Kayamita. That's why after the suggestion in the early years, 2005, I say, if it can be an occasion for fellowship, joy, and meet up, an expression of thanks, wholesomeness, why not? That's why it has been maintained as a tradition until today. That's why I always say it's not so much of my birthday. Yeah. But people like to associate it so that they can use my birthday as an occasion to express their gratitude, their thanks and all those things, and wholesomeness. That's why many of them make offering. And I really rejoice because they were very sincere. And it gives rise to a lot of wholesomeness. And every year, I receive a lot of joy. And this year also, I again received from Sister Mimi. She sent me a stack of book again. This one is on the Mahayana teaching one, Avatamsaka Sutra. Three volume, part one, part two, part three. This one is Fa Hua San Bu Jing, it's more towards the Fa Hua Jing, but he managed to get the English translation. This one is also from Master Xuan Hua San, I think transcribed by or produced by one of Xuan Hua's disciples. Which is very thick. I flick through, which I believe is quite a good set. So she got very good wishes too. My nature also rejoiced. Then we, as usual, we saw a lot of Kayamita after MCO we haven't met. And suddenly appear back again. Yeah, this is one of the unique occasion where we can have such like back to normal type of gathering. Okay, we are during the MCO, I remember we have, but we limit it because we cannot exceed certain numbers. So I remember initially 2020 was only two table or one. Then later on three or four table. Until 2023, I think we have more. We have more. But this year is like back to normal already. So all these are very joyful, and very wholesome. Yeah, I understand why you mentioned the early days. That's why after that you get to know a lot of family time. Then you realize they were also wonderful, so helpful. And very different. Our Kayamita are very different. Most of them are very helpful, very selfless, and sincere. And they really learn and they benefited from the teaching. You see them transform. You see them improving their life.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Good. Sadhu, yeah.
Yeah. So that the one that I attended in that early days, I remember It had a huge impact on me. I was feeling happy inside also. And then I felt, I remember having a lot of joy. And then when the gathering that day ended, I didn't go home. I went to I think a shopping mall because I wanted to buy some clothes. As we were going on a spiritual trip to China, but I remember it was quite funny, you know. Now that you, because you're talking about gathering, right? So it triggered this occasion. So I started driving out from the restaurants and then to the shopping mall, and I felt that the mind was very different.
Very different, it is.
Very different. Very calm. Yeah, there's a lot of traffic and shopping mall. Also, a lot of
but
people.
It don't affect you.
It doesn't affect me. You know, and it
that, that is
for,
clarity in you. That is joy, and that is confidence in you. That is a type of clarity and understanding. That's why you become very different. You are not lost in thought like before.
Yeah, and I wasn't even meditating. It was just,
yeah.
I guess it was the joy that came
correct.
From the
from
gathering.
That occasion.
Yeah, and it lasted, I think, next morning, no more, but for the rest of the day, it was like that.
That's what Dhamma is capable of. It can actually give rise to this type of energy and this type of mind state. Because that joy that comes with that manifestation during that occasion is very deep one, very deep one. And it manifests from the heart. As I cultivate all the way, you will know, and they will go through all these phases of transformation and understanding. That's why you become very different. And as you evolve, as you progress, more and more things will happen.
Brother Radio, thank you.
Yeah, very wholesome, very good, Sadhu.
So maybe that's all I can share.
You can nominate another person.
Amitofo, Radio, and Phil, and all kinds of thank you. Again for nominating me. Virtue, this is a very special occasion for all Kayamitas to come together celebrate the Virtue's birthday, 20 years of coming out
to share the teaching, the Dhamma.
And also the annual Kayamitas gathering. This is also my first gathering that I attended.
That's why you also felt the
oneness,
the joy, and so different. That's why you have to be there. And also your recent spiritual trip also same. That was the first one. In fact, all our spiritual activity, they are very, very unique ones. That's why after you join, you experience, you can relate it for others to have faith and confidence, just like what Manuel went through. And this one for you is just the first.
But I make the I create the courses to come la. The reason is this is a special occasion, you know.
Correct, because of the 20th anniversary, the special tri-sacred occasion.
It's a tri-sacred occasion that I should make. I create the courses to come. So I made the trip to come. And then, of course, I like to meet people that I have not met before, although I have with them before, and also I've seen their messages on WhatsApp, but I have never met them before, you know.
Correct. That is true.
So it was very meaningful for me, Robert. And I tell you, I tell you, there's this lady that came with Brother Chin Hao, right? I tell you, from a distance, I felt the connection, the joy, you know, with this person in particular. And also, so when this person came with the Rajina to me, right, talking, right, you know, then I start realizing that this person I know, you know, because it's through our transcript book, you know, that we do it multiple times. I felt the close connection with this person, although I have not met, I have not seen photo of this person before, you know, Brazil. So, it was so joyful. I mean, both of us were, I can feel the connection that both of us are.
You mentioned one is Beng Lim, isn't it?
No, Brazil.
Oh, not Beng Lim, another one.
Guan Chi.
Guan Chi, yeah, Alostar one, yeah.
Yes. Yes, because I've not seen Guan Chi before.
Guan Chi, together with the husband, Brother Lee.
Anyway, I met Guan Chi for the first time, you know. So the joy is like very overflowing.
Yes,
it was so exceptional
she's very good. She can understand my teaching very well. And when she did the transcript, she did it very well.
So I read her transcript before in the past also, you know. Not just the book, you know, the notes that she wrote in the weekly, you know, y'all have weekly, in the past you have weekly sharing like Tuesday or Thursday. Short notes before like that.
The doctor also did the short notes.
So it was so nice that we could connect on that particular date you know. And of course, sister tree also, you know. Kind of like, how do you say, the warmness that she radiated,
they came all the way from Alaska. And they have attended many. They have very strong faith.
Yes, so it was a very nice occasion. And we can sit any table. When I asked Sister Pamosiri, is there a designated sitting for us? She said, no, you just sit.
Yeah,
table one to
free sitting. Yeah, free sitting.
She told us that. So we just walk and see the table is kind of empty. So we landed on table 4. And then table 4, the time nobody at the table, you know, just see some bags, but nobody there. So we just sit on the table, right, on the chair. And then next to me was Sister Man Yuan, you know, Brazil. So we had many good sharing. I had many good sharing with Sister Man Yuan because I asked her about the Sabah trip, you know. My husband for the Sabah trip. So we could connect also, you know, the story. So we had many good sharing on that particular day as well, you know. Then on that table, actually I only know six of us, like including myself, six. The other four actually I don't know, like Sister Chiam, right? And then Brother Adam also, I don't know.
They are early day Thursday class one. Before the MCO, they attended the Thursday class. Then after the MCO, we got Zoom. Then they also don't join us because no longer holding the Thursday class at Sui An's house. They familiar with Sui An now. But when he changed to Padma Sri house, I think most people are not familiar and they didn't turn up. Because Sui An different. Sui An make it a point. He got a WhatsApp list or no. He will WhatsApp all of them whom he managed to gather to attend on. So that's why during those early days, the Thursday class, the attendance was very high. Sometimes 40 plus the Thursday class. And sit until the staircase up, the whole of the ground. So, but Pamasri there may be also more difficult to go in, and less people are familiar with that section. But Sri and they're very strategic, they're very near the Swan Parade, yeah, outside Tallinn. Very convenient. Anyway, they are beautiful kilometers.
So coming back to these people, the Karamitas that I don't know, right? So it's Sister Cham, Brother Adam, and the other one, Bradio. I also don't know. I mean, I don't know her face also. So, but the interestingly is when I asked my sister, then my sister told me who she is.
Oh.
So I said, oh. So it is the first time I met her also, but she often, communicate messages to Kayamita WhatsApp group, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
this
yeah.
Sister Andrin.
Ah, Andrin, yeah, yeah, yeah. She has been
so
so cheerful, you know. Oh, and she looks so different nowadays. She dressed up very well already. Because now she very happy. But the daughter also grew up, married already. So she very happy. The joy, we can see the big difference. In fact, a lot of Kayamita had changed a lot. Yeah. Even Beng Lim,
yeah.
Beng Lim changed a lot now. Until we had the wife sent her to my house before Beng Lim joined us. Then I met the wife, you know, then we were discussing before the rest arrived. Then we say, I told Beng Lim, I said, that's why Dhamma is very beautiful. When you have the Dhamma understanding, you change. And when you change, your loved ones, your close friend or whoever who are close to you, they will know. They can see. They can. You know what happened after I say that? The wife smile. The wife say, "Yeah, you see, it has changed. Changed a lot for the better." And Beng Lim has changed until the wife was so good, so happy. And the wife, English educated, but no Mandarin. So she can read Mandarin, you know, and she learned the Mahayana teaching. That's why there is a lot. And then he looked at my whiteboard. He can read, you know, Fa Hua San Bu Jing. But he learned them in Cantonese. That's why a lot of things, when you start to witness all this, you know how beautiful Dhamma is when they unfold and manifest. A lot of them transform, especially that lady Andrea. She became so beautiful. In the early years, also Thursday class, she came very, very early. I remember she is one of the pioneers, quite early. I think 2009 or what. Around that time, more than 13 or 14 years ago. Yeah, you continue, Poche.
Yeah. So we got a chance to just talk a little bit. And then after that, on our table is also Sister Angie. Sister Angie has not attended the retreat or the Wutaisan, but Brother Pan actually is the one that attended the Wutaisan.
So
we talk a little bit, you know, they were busy taking care of their grandchildren, and so they take time, you know, to the grandchildren. So this time Brother Pan stay at home, and Sister Angie can come out to celebrate this occasion, which is also very on park, you know. Yeah. Then other Kayamita that I met is Sister Nancy.
Going on.
Sister Nancy, we talk a little bit about the clang talk that had. So I saw
the recent one. She organized and invited me there.
So,
we had about two tables for the lunch. Their clan katina clash with our annual gathering. So because of that, most of them that are involved in the katina cannot come. So they hold a special one to like celebrate with me, but they invite me down to clan to give a sharing that talk. So that one was very beautiful too. Last time when I was having the house dana at her place, that talk, they did a transcript and it became a book. the brown book, as essential Dhamma of the Buddha. Very good talk. And this time around also the talk very good. And surprisingly, despite the Katina, quite a big group came from, I think almost 5 or 6 of them I saw. Because Susan also there. You met Susan?
Yes, I met the next lady that I want to talk is a sister Susan. Yes, this is the first time I met her as well. So, but I can recognize her on photo because she appeared on Zoom before. So I know she's sister Susan, but it's the first time I met her in person.
Okay.
So it was also a very joyful meeting with
her. Her Dhamma is very good also. She can understand quite a lot of things that I share and teach.
Yes. So, but anyway, Beatil, because of the so many people and the time that the time that we were there before the start of the lunch, so it was kind of like short, you know, because there are so many. You know, so we kind of like try to talk a little bit. And another sister that I kind of how you call that, met. Not for the first time, but because she came down to Singapore before once, you know, a few years ago, during the COVID, Sister Christina. So she came down to meet me and Sister Sandra. I cannot remember the year lah. So I can recognize her lah. So when she met me again this time, it was like old friends meeting, you know.
Yeah,
so it
right.
was really as well with Sister Christina, you know.
Yeah.
There is another person that I meet for the second time, huh? But I cannot recognize her, you know, Brazil. Because her hairstyle changed, you know, and she was dressed up, is it?
When they dress up, they look so different.
Yeah. She looks different from the time that when she introduced herself, lah, because I cannot recognize her. She introduced herself, then I realized she's the one that attended the last year retreat, you know, Brazil. Sister, what's her name? Sister, oh dear, I forgot the name. Remember, she's the one that came to your house, and then after that, she has to get a grab or somebody send her off or something like that at the end of the retreat. What's her name? Her hair curly, and then she wear a very nice dress, black color.
No, it's a lady.
Flowers, lady, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot her. Oh dear.
I know there's a lady. Yeah.
She was all dressed up, but she attended the retreat, lah. You know, Brazil.
Correct. Yes.
So it was so nice of her to come and approach me and introduce her name again to me. You know, because I totally cannot recognize her, Brazil. Of course, also the old regulars, the old lah. Not the word old as an old person, but the regulars that we always meet and then we come together again, Sister Engbi, Sister Pamasu.
You met Yun Chan also, isn't it?
Sister Yun Chan, Yun Chan. You know? Yes.
And
even
also Raymond, the husband. Yeah,
the husband. So Sister Yun Chan, very funny. He said, do you know my husband, brother? Raymond. That is what, of course, I know. We went to Taishan together. Yeah, then he took so nice, photos of the lotus at the Tai and show us, and then we were so grateful. And he is the one, you know, that also treat us to a lot of things, you know, at the Taishan, buying the strawberry. So, so hospital and...
Correct. Very generous.
Quiet, but very nice guy. You know?
Very cheerful, very friendly.
So we had photo together, so I sent it to her so that she remember that I met Brother Raymond.
In fact, the photo session was very good. Sister Christy, actually, she very good photographer. I was so surprised when the photo came out. Almost every table he went and take, and everybody, most of us were inside the photo, and it is really beautiful.
Yes. All the photos are all taken very nicely, and she took the time to go every table, yes.
Yeah, and the group photo this time around, very well taken. I have uploaded it into our website. So now our website, on the archive there, the homepage, you look above the archive. Last time only one photo in the Thailand on spiritual trip. Now include our second one, Gathering of Kayamita. So my daughter teach me how to upload, so I managed to upload it. It was beautiful. The website, you go and click on it. The photo come out very sharp one. The one I saw on the WhatsApp, not so sharp. But you go to the website, the photo are all very clear, very sharp.
Yeah, I think Brother Gino ever told me before that you have to download the HD version, you know. You
Correct. Our website one, I think, is must be HD or what, I don't know.
You must select
because the photo that come out, I extracted from there. Just Sui told me, you don't go and download, then transfer or share. You take direct from Christian. That one really come out very nice.
So everything is kind of like perfect in the sense, you know, because no rehearsal, you know, and everything goes smoothly, you know, and without any hiccup or anything like that.
No,
you know?
Don't have. Everything went on smoothly and very well organized.
So we must thank the committee.
Especially the committee. And this time did it so efficiently, you know, so fun. No need rehearsal, nothing. No. Just everybody know what to do. No. Because they already done it before. And everybody coordinated so well this time. That's why we must thank Pamasri and Bratil for. Pamasri is the main person that volunteered to organize all this. So I said, go ahead. I said, because I have faith in her. She's very good, very sincere. Then together we Bratil, the video, everything, the presentation. Actually, the booking of the hotel. And later on, the food, of course, helped by a few kayamita. I think MB was the one that also helped, and Sister Alicia. Then we finalized the food. Then, of course, in between, Sui An also did a lot of work for not only as treasurer, but getting people. The main committee member that helped gather a lot of people, remind them to come, and all is mainly Brother Sui An. So because of that, we should actually rejoice and thank them. And for Christy also, purposely come back from Thailand, Katina, just the night before. Then she became a volunteer to do our photo session, which was so well done. These are all meant to be very beautiful and fall into place, like perfect.
Yeah, so Mahasadhu,
Mahasadhu, yes.
Organizing committee, Sister Pamasuri and Brother Chi, Brother Chow, and all everybody like and practicing.
Who has actually helped out, even like Stephanie, the cake, she do one vegetarian one, then the other one I think she bought. And she donated the whole thing, the Kayamita fund. Because we don't want her to send in the bill. Is it never mind? Is it he taken care already and he donated back to Kayamita fund? So he paid for it. And so beautifully done. She every year is in charge of the cake. And she did it very well. When she got a lot of passion. Then also, I think, Manyuan and Jinha. Hey, Jinha was responsible for all the flowers. We should thank Jinha. That flower was beautiful. And many of them told me, but material, you just mean, wow, very frequent, very frequent. In fact, it was very well done. Then the ceremony was concise, short, precise, and very beautiful. And all the sharing, the explanation of the occasion and the website came out so well. That's why we should really rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And thank everybody for making it a great success. And even people attending. Because of
yeah,
the attendance,
sadhu, and yes, for
the
the
occasion became so meaningful, so beautiful.
So it was a very wonderful gathering,
yeah,
you know,
very wonderful and very successful. Very well.
Filled with fellowship, right? I felt that fellowship is so
it's exceptional. This year one is exceptional. This year one marked the three tri-sacred auspicious occasion. It's very meaningful.
We have a lot of cherished, happy memories out of this occasion, right? Lovely photos of all the Kayamitas and families. Even this brother Koklon and family as well. You know?
Yes, the whole family came.
Yes, the whole family.
And not only that, I forgot to add in one thing. This website, you all, off and on, should go in. Especially later part of your life as you age. They bring back good memories of all the wholesome activity that you all have done. Not only the cultivation, the gathering of Kayamita, the annual retreat, and even the spiritual trip, our dana, everything, and all our activity, they are all there. And when you go through them, they are so beautiful. And these are for you to recollect as you go through the later years of your life, because it indicates very clearly that as Kayamita, your life is so rich, so well like lived, and you have done so much wholesomeness, even the cultivation, everything. That's why a lot of all these photos, because they are in the website, it can remind you. In fact, every retreat is like that, every spiritual trip is like that. Oh, 6 o'clock already. Okay. So thank you so much. Yeah, let us rejoin one more time.
Radio is very true. The spiritual trip album is so beautiful. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, very beautiful.
I didn't attend those trips, right? But when I look at the album, right, it's so beautiful.
It can actually tell you a lot of things.
Yes,
and they are
yes.
So beautifully documented.
And thank you, Brother Tim, for doing the
Yeah, Brother Tim, for doing it out and all those things.
So, let's rejoice deeply, you know, and sadhu to all Kayamita's organizing committee for a job well done, and also photographers, Sister Christy Young. Yes. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Sadhu, Kan'en, Amitabha.
Yeah, Amitabha. Okay, we will share merit, transfer merit, then we end. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Animoditwa Tirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itta Wata Jamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabe Deva Animodantu Sabasampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita hontunya tayo, idang menya tinang hotu, sukita hontunya tayo, idang menya tinang hotu, sukita hontunya tayo. Devo asatu kalena, sasa sampati heto cha, fito bawatu loko cha, raja bawatu damiko. Ipina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sakang samagamo hotu Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.